statewide on the Golf Club Network. It's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And you are in the clubhouse. Welcome. We've got to change that to make that worldwide. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we have to thank our sponsors first. But Ron Cyrak, journalist, executive editor, Golf World, and of course, senior writer, Golf Digest, and author of Vision 54 and Go Pirates. He'll be joining us right after this. Let's take a thank you, big thank you note to the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities, a unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And here we are in beautiful Hawaii. It's going to be another gorgeous, very hot day, about 91 expected to be, but the trades are back. And welcome to the show, back in the clubhouse, Ron Cyrak. It's good to talk with you.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Now, last weekend, we talked with Vision 54's Lynn Marriott about all of the books that you have co-written with the folks, Pia and Lynn. And she talked about the fourth book that's going to be written, and it's about learning how to play on the course, like playing lessons, if you will. And she said that you'll be writing this book with them again. When does that start?
Boy, that's all news to me.
Okay.
That's all news to me. No, I'm three and out with Vision 54. I'm done with those books. I believe they're using John Garrity for the next book.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, yep. I better update myself. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. Anyway, they're three great books, and I'll edit that for rebroadcast. Let's get right to the Deutsche Bank Championship at TPC Boston, where Ron Cyrak is. The top 70 make it out alive. This is the second event in the FedEx Cup Championship playoff, bye week next week. Third event is the BMW at Conway Farms. Finale is the Tour Championship at Coca-Cola at Eastlake Golf Course in Atlanta. Now, yesterday, you followed the threesome of Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, and Adam Scott. And, boy, what a thrill to watch Phil. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I think there's something about playing with Tiger Woods that brings out the best in Mickelson. He went out, shot 28 on the front nine, and after he bogeyed 10, he hit it to about 18 inches on 11 and made eagle there. And at that point, he's 8 under par, and we had the 59 watch on. But then he settled down, ended up shooting a 63, but it's as good as I've seen Phil play in quite a while. I've felt this way for several years now. There's two things that motivate Mickelson, and that's winning major championships and beating Tiger Woods. He won the major at the British Open this year, and he loves playing in the same group with Tiger and gets to play with him again today.
I remember when he talked about that it really brings out his best game. What is it about Tiger? Is it keeps him focused?
Well, I think that, the only thing that Phil Mickelson's done wrong in his career was he was born in the Tiger Woods era. Mickelson's had a remarkable career, 43 wins, 5 major championships, and he's just sort of, I wouldn't say overlooked, but probably doesn't get the recognition that he really deserves because of all the remarkable things that Tiger's done. And if you look at it, if you go back to 2004, since 2004, Tiger's won 6 majors and Phil's won 5. So over the last 9 years, it's pretty much been a wash between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. In majors. But, I mean, Tiger's almost doubled the wins across that period of time. I mean, he certainly is winning, but I suppose you think more along the lines of he wins on the courses he's familiar with?
Well, Tiger certainly does that. I mean, I think about half of his wins are on 5 golf courses. Mm-hmm. I also think that Tiger does a better job of being mentally engaged from tournament to tournament than Phil does. And Phil's talked about it. He's been out there more than two decades, and he sort of admits that it's harder and harder for him to stay focused for four straight days, 72 holes. And he does that best in the majors or when he's playing with Tiger Woods.
He stays in the fairway. He's really working on his game, I guess, since the arthritis. He's worked on his game, that's what I hear. Stays in the fairway, puts himself, at least yesterday, some 20 feet from the pin. Something that Tiger wasn't able to pull off. What is it about Tiger's shot-making, his targeting ability? It seems like with the very soft conditions at TPC Boston that it would be, target golf.
Yeah, you know, what Phil's done really brilliantly is he doesn't use the driver anymore. He's got this Frankenwood, this sort of smallish-headed driver club that's got the loft of about a 3-wood, or at least it's more lofted than a driver, and he uses that to put the ball in the fairway. Tiger still struggles when he has to use the driver, and his iron play is just not as crisp as it was when he was the full Tiger. But I mean, that said, he's the leader in the clubhouse for Player of the Year this year. He's won 5 times, didn't win a major championship, but he's still I've used this line before. Tiger Light is still the best player in the world.
Yeah, he really is. But before we talk about what Phil hasn't accomplished, and you put that in your article, you can read Ron Cyrak, the executive editor of Golf World. He is featured always at golfdigest.com. So do check out his articles and his columns. Excellent work. And apparently Phil spoke with the 8 top putters in the world and discovered that there was something they all had in common, but he won't say what it is. But he's using whatever that thread is. Did you have any idea of what it could be?
The ball goes in the hole, maybe.
yeah.
He putted terrific yesterday. I mean, as he said, he wasn't knocking down pins except for that shot on number 2.
Uh-huh.
But he was putting the ball 12 to 20 feet from the hole and then making the putts. And boy, the birdie putts that he missed all scared the hole yesterday. He just, the best I've seen him putt in a long, long time. And if there's been anything about Phil's game that's been the most inconsistent over the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's been the putting.
Excellent, excellent. Now, this surprised me when I read your article, and that is that Phil has never been Player of the Year, PGA Tour Money List leader, FedEx Cup champion. That didn't surprise me because it's relatively new, and he's never been number one in the world.
Yeah, you know, again, it's the misfortune of being born in the Tiger Woods. You know, Tiger Woods was, I think, he's been Player of the Year 10 times and led the money list 10 times. And then the years when Tiger didn't do it, BJ Singh had a couple of huge years in there. Patrick Harrington had a huge year in there. And it was just bad luck for Mickelson in a lot of ways. I mean, for all that he's accomplished, and you know, as I said, 43 wins in 5 majors is absolutely remarkable. But for all that he's accomplished, he hasn't been able to get those things. Several of those are within reach this year. He could be Player of the Year. He could lead the money list. He could win the FedEx Cup. I think dethroning Tiger Woods, knocking Tiger from number one in the world ranking, might be the most difficult of all those. But he's got a shot at the other ones.
Is this the year he has to do it if he's going to do it?
I don't know. That's a good question. It would be interesting to see, I mean, how much longer can Phil stay mentally engaged and stay motivated. As I said, I think winning the British Open this year is going to add a little fuel to the fuel tank for Phil and sort of remotivate him, because now with 5 majors and, you know, he needs a U.S. Open and that completes the career Grand Slam. And since he's going to be second in that tournament 6 times, he has a shot at that. With 5 majors, he's 1 behind Lee Trevino and Nick Faldo with 6. And then he's 2 behind the really elite level 7 majors, which is Arnold Palmer, Sam Snead, Gene Sarazen, and Bobby Jones, Harry Vardon. That would really, really change his legacy enormously and put him in that conversation as one of the 10 best ever to play the game. Mm. That might motivate Phil.
Now, you followed Tiger Woods inside the ropes. Inside the ropes, you guys, with his 14 major victories. But it always seems that Woods gets berated, unlike any other player on tour, when he shoots a lousy 68. Almost makes one root for him, the underdog. You know, it surprises me. Nobody piled on Adam Scott 73 yesterday. What is it about...
You know, well, there's something about, I mean, Tiger brings some of this on himself on the third hole, a par three, which was his 12th hole. He played the front nine first. He hits an iron shot, and as soon as the ball leaves his club, he just drops the club onto the ground, shakes his head in disgust, and the ball ends up 25 feet left of the pin. You know,
So
there's that little bit of and look, there's, I think I've told you this before, privately, never to his face, but one of the nicknames some of the players call him is Oscar, because he's such a great actor out there. And there are people who think that with his back problems and some of his other things, that sometimes he gets a little over dramatic out there.
We call them drama queen.
And that all said, yes. The other thing about Tiger is that he is held to an unfair, higher standard than everybody else.
Uh-huh.
But genius always is. And Tiger set that bar there himself. Yes, we continue to judge him against the way he played in 2000 through 2004.
Yeah, we will. Forever. That's it. You know, when you've reached the pinnacle, what else can we do? Why aren't you as good as you were? And now you're just one of the guys. And you shot a lousy 68. Hey. Let's change to something.
Who else could have a year in which they win five tournaments and it's considered that he underachieved?
Yes,
because he didn't win a major.
That's what I'm saying. You know, and I know that the media finds him aloof, but a lot of guys are aloof. A lot of guys won't answer questions. You know, it's not like he's unusual in the guy world. Phil Mickelson is unusual. He is much more forthcoming than most people, and that's sweet. Rory McIlroy is another example of a very forthcoming human being, and it's refreshing. But
Rory's tragic flaw may end up being that he's too nice of a guy. That he's not mean enough. You know, I mean, you know, no one's ever going to accuse Tiger Woods of being too nice of a guy out there. You know, he wants to beat your brains out when he's playing.
So while we talk about the Adam Scott and the Tiger Woods and the Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia comes along. What, he shot a 64?
He finished with an eagle on the 18th hole, shoots 64. He's 13 under through 36 holes. He's the early halfway leader in the clubhouse. I was just talking to him in the interview room, and he admitted that this summer has been hard for him because he's been playing with the shadow of that Tiger Woods controversy hanging over him every week. And he gets asked about it almost every week.
Mm.
And he feels like he's just sort of emerging from that shadow right now and starting to play some of his best golf.
Well, I was looking at the FedEx Cup rankings. We've got Tiger 1, Adam Scott 2, Phil Mickelson 3, Matt Kuchar 4, Justin Rose 5, Brant Snedeker 6. Nothing surprising really there. Then comes Graham Dillette, Bill Haas, Jordan Spieth. Those are interesting.
Jordan's the real deal, I'll tell you. You know, he became, I think he was the first teenager in 80 years to win on the PGA Tour this year. And I saw him play when he was in high school. I saw him playing on a sponsor's exemption at the Byron Nelson tournament. Saw him at the Nelson twice as an amateur. Saw him in San Antonio once as an amateur. And he's a really, really good player. And you know, those names that you ticked off, I think it's a good time to make a point that while the FedEx Cup, and this is the seventh year of it, confuses a lot of people about exactly how it works and how these points work and everything, I think overall, as an event, it has worked. If you look at the people that it's produced as winners, it's had Tiger Woods twice, Vijay Singh, Furyk, Bill Haas, Brant Snedeker, and right now you look at who's leading on it, Tiger Woods, Adam Scott, Phil Mickelson, Matt Kuchar, Justin Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can't argue with any of those guys.
Nope.
You know, it seems like this format, this structure, works.
It does.
It's, we have not had any fluke winners.
No, and it's exciting too. It's just keeping it straight for people who aren't immersed in golf. You know, who are weekend warriors because they work all week long and they can't keep up like everybody in the business can. You know, explain.
Yeah, the only thing you really need to know is that this week we have 100 players in the field. Last week was 125. Top 100 advanced to this week. Top 70 advanced to the BMW tournament, which is in 2 weeks. And then top 30 advanced from the BMW to the Tour Championship. And then once you get there, anybody who's in the top five going into the Tour Championship has their fate in their own hands. If they win the Tour Championship, they win the FedEx Cup and the $10 million that goes with it. But there are people quite a ways back who have, I mean, that number 30 has a mathematical chance to win if a lot of the people who are ahead of him, you know, don't do as well.
Yeah, and I think that part is great, knowing that the guy at number 30 isn't locked out. He can still win. So that makes the Tour Championship by Coca-Cola so very exciting.
Well, look at we will have on Monday when this tournament finishes, the added excitement of not only who's going to win the tournament, but we'll be looking at who's going to be 70th on the FedEx Cup point list. So those guys who were well back and out of contention and don't have a chance to win the tournament are still playing for something. They're playing for a chance to advance to the next playoff event.
Mm-hmm. I was reading your Twitter timeline, and you can follow Ron Cyrak, the executive editor of Golf World, at Ron Cyrak, RONSIRAK. And Sophie Gustafson retired. You had the wonderful acceptance speech that she gave that took some 7 hours for her to put together because of the stutter that she has. I couldn't find anything on her blog. She hasn't blogged in a year about why she decides to retire. She announced it yesterday on Twitter in the late afternoon, I think it was. It's with mixed emotions that I'm now choosing to step away from the LPGA. Thanks for all your kindness over the years. Why do you think she's leaving?
I would be careful about using the word retired, because she says she's stepping away from the LPGA. I've sent her an email. I haven't heard back from her yet. She's probably traveling from Portland back to Florida where she lives. But the way she phrased it, stepping away from the LPGA, leaves open the possibility she has a house in Sorrow Suite. Where she lived and where she grew up. And to me, she has left open the possibility that she's going to move back to Sweden and play the Ladies European Tour.
Oh, that would be cool.
Where she's been the leading money winner four times as a part-time player. She struggled with her game. She's definitely struggled with her game. She is a very emotional player. You know, she's not a technical player. She's a field player. Her hero in golf is Seve Ballesteros, and she plays a lot like Seve. And she doesn't have technique to fall back on when she's struggling. But I was curious about the way she worded that. So I think there is a chance that what she might be telling us is, I'm going to go back home and play the European Tour.
And that would be great for the European Tour. I love the LET.
It would, and I think European Tour is, and if you just looked at some of the players who had played very, very well in Solheim Cup, there are quite a few players in there who play primarily the European Tour. And, you know, just because we haven't heard of them, and I warned people about this going into the Solheim Cup, I said, you know, just because you haven't heard of some of these players, don't think they aren't good, because they are. And they played very, very well over there. And I know Sophie feels very, very protective and supportive of the Ladies European Tour. And there's a part of me that thinks that she might want to go back home and be a boost to that tour.
That's fantastic. Your final thoughts on this past Solheim Cup?
I think that the Americans lost twice. I think they got thoroughly routed 18-10. And I think they lost the public perception battle in the sense that the Europeans looked more focused and less theatrical. And I think some of the theatrics... I love the emotion of the Solheim Cup. I love it. But I think there was, you know, those two lengthy penalties, the 27-minute decision on the drop, 31-minute decision on the drop, were unfortunate. There was a mistake made in one of them, but neither of them had anything to do with the outcome of the event. When you lose 18-10, you got to take a higher road than to think that bad rulings are what cost you the win. And I also think it was great for the future of the Solheim Cup to have the event be closer now. This is, the American had won 3 in a row, had taken an 8-3 lead. Now the Europeans have won 2 in a row. It's 8-5. The next one's going to be played in Germany. I think by the time we get back to the United States in 2017, that this event's going to be even more intense.
Yeah, and I remember when we first started talking a long time ago, it seems, this is it. If the Solheim Cup is going to have a future, the Europeans have to win. They came along and won, and they've won again. So the future of the Solheim Cup is just fine.
I'll tell you, I think a real advantage that European captain Lotta Neumann had is she had 6 Solheim Cup rookies on her team. She had 3 other players who had only played in 1 Solheim Cup. So I don't think she was juggling a whole lot of egos in her team room. I think she had a lot of very, very coachable young players who were willing, and her assistant captains were Annika Sorenstam and Karin Koch. So I think the 3 of them, all products of the Swedish junior program and all members of the Swedish national team, which is where Vision 54 came out of and where Pia Nilsson developed it as the coach of the Swedish national team. And I think she had a very coachable team. I think there were some ego problems inside the American team room. I think there were some divas in there who were not really very coachable.
Interesting. Thank you very much for that. And thank you for being on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks for having me on. My pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll be back right after this. We're going to go and find a man who has created a program for the wounded warriors who are still just coming out of the hospital. They're going through their therapy, and he's using golf to help them even more. His name is Steve Greiner. He's at Fort Belvoir Golf Club, and we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The new Acura RDX features an incredibly efficient V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Yet the RDX has incredible nimble driving characteristics. And let's not forget, it's also equipped with standard power moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. It also has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, they don't make any sound. Test drive the new RDX today.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
The new Acura RLX's true sense of luxury comes from its unique technologies. From the Juli LED headlights and precision all-wheel steer, to its available 14-speaker Krell premium audio system, the RLX takes everything you love about a luxury sedan and makes it even more luxurious. The all-new RLX from Acura. Luxury taken to a whole new level.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
It's The Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome to the show, Steve Greiner, the head professional at Fort Belvoir Golf Club, a PGA professional for 12 years, teaching professional for 22 years. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you, Danielle. It's a pleasure to be on.
I've heard from people who've told me you, Steve Greiner, have created one of the premier Wounded Warrior golf programs at Fort Belvoir. Tell us a little bit about the program.
We started it back in 2008. It started fairly innocently. I'm in Washington, D.C. A lot of soldiers are coming back from deployment. You know, like any concerned citizen, I'm observing and noticing what's happening with our soldiers and with our people in the military, and I wanted to do what I could to help. And so I went up onto the installation where they had a warrior unit and talked with the Sergeant Henry, and he thought it was a great idea. And I just started teaching soldiers individually on my day off, which is Saturday, or it's really my teaching day Saturday, because I manage the golf course Monday to Friday, and I do a lot of my teaching on Saturday. And so I started giving lessons, and but as I was doing that, what happened was the old Walter Reed Hospital, it was announced that it was going to close and that they were going to build a new hospital, and it was slated to be built on Fort Belvoir. So I realized that this was going to be a really big thing. So then in 2010, the numbers increased dramatically at Fort Belvoir, and then flash all the way up till today, we have 81 soldiers and their immediate family members in our Wounded Warrior program.
How does golf help a person who is recovering from physical, severe brain injuries, PTSD? How does golf help?
Well, I think it helps on many levels, but probably the first one right away is that it's a sport that they can do at their own pace. It's an individual sport. And of course, I would say if you compare it to other sports, it probably doesn't have quite the demands physically like you might have if you're playing basketball or football. So it's very individual, and it does not require running and jumping and those kinds of things. So it's an extension of their rehabilitation. And I think for golf, beside being individual, it's also very social, very therapeutic, the beauty and the serenity of golf courses. So they're able to learn at their own pace. It also, I think, is very good for things like their coordination and for them to get out and try to, foray into something where they can challenge themselves and do it at their own pace. So it really helps on a lot of levels. We're finding that a big part of it is the social interaction and the way, golf's nature as being a business sport and a social sport, and where they can go out and talk and interact with people. And they spend a great deal of time initially on the practice range. So again, it's just something they can do at their own pace. And I think that's one of the advantages that golf has, maybe versus team sports and other types of sports.
Well, so many of us golfers find the game so frustrating, trying to get it right. Do you deal with those kinds of frustrations as well?
Yeah, well, they have a different perspective. Just hitting golf balls and getting out and playing. I have found that when Wounded Warriors come to golf class, they're not coming at it with the same perspective that a lot of people who have not been in their situation come at it. When they hit bad shots or if something isn't going right, there's a lot of laugh. And just the fact that they're doing it is exhilarating. And so there is a different psychology, at play. They're, in many cases, just happy to be getting back into life. And they come at it from a totally different perspective. Now, do they get a little frustrated at the challenge of it? They do, but I have not really found that to be a challenge like I do with a lot of the students that I have otherwise.
We need to look at it as wow, we're really lucky to be out here on a golf course trying to hit a ball, and if you don't hit it, let's laugh about it a little bit. It's not the end of the world.
Our particular wounded warriors, and that's a term that has a very broad, you know, that can mean a lot of things. It can mean people that are out of the military, but a lot of the soldiers that I work with are active duty. They've gotten out of the hospital, and they're assigned to a warrior battalion, and they're beginning their rehabilitation, hopefully to go back to what their normal duties in the military were. So they are pretty recent. So these are not people that were in Iraq or Afghanistan years ago or in another war. These are people that everything that has happened somewhat recently, and they've gotten out of the hospital phase, and now they're assigned to a battalion to rehabilitate, and then they're cleared to start participating in different types of recreational activities, which is an extension of their, you know, of their rehab. And so so a lot of it is fairly new. So when they come to the golf course, I think the perspective that you just mentioned and that I just mentioned, that they're just excited to be out doing something. So I don't think they're approaching this with how good am I going to be, or, you know, did I hit the ball straight, or, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. I think it's just the fact that they're doing it that's important to them. And one of the main goals that we have as instructors is also getting them to interact, because a lot of the soldiers that we deal with, even if it's physical or not, you can tell that they've gone through trauma, and it's easy for them to withdraw. It's easy for them to sit in their room and maybe play video games on TV, if that. So to a large degree, we make the whole thing fun, and we don't really have them out on the golf course right away. We have them on the practice facility. So there's no real pressure for results. Just participating is the goal, really. Just getting them involved in doing things is the first step.
We're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back. We're talking with Steve Greiner, head professional at Fort Belvoir, the creator of the Wounded Warrior Golf Program that helps with the rehabilitation socially and physically in conjunction with what the doctors are prescribing, so to speak. But this is also getting them out, getting them in the social experience that's so important. So we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
We're back, and we're talking with Steve Greiner, the head professional at Fort Belvoir Golf Club. He's been the head professional for 12 years, or a PGA professional for 12 years, and a teaching professional for 22 years. How long have you been at Belvoir?
Since 1999.
We are in the Patriot Golf Days a flagship fundraiser for Folds of Honor Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit providing post-secondary educational scholarships for the children and spouses of military men and women disabled or killed while serving our great nation. Now, on Labor Day this weekend, golfers across the country are asked to add an extra dollar to their green fees to fund the Folds of Honor scholarships. And Patriot Golf Day is jointly supported by the PGA of America and the United States Golf Association. And we're talking right now with the head pro at Fort Belvoir, and this is Steve Greiner. He has this great program for wounded warriors, golf as a rehabilitation tool, and I've heard a lot of great things about what golf can do, helping people get back, and as Steve mentioned, not just the physicalness and the physical nature of sport, but the socialization and getting people out of their rooms and into social environments where laughter can happen and relationships can blossom. It's the beauty of the game of golf, and in this case, what Steve Greiner's doing with his Wounded Warrior program at Fort Belvoir. You have, from what I understand, interest in expanding the program. Is it something you created and have an opportunity to maybe give other locations, like someplace in Hawaii, an opportunity to have a program like yours?
Yes, I created the program back in 08, and at the time I didn't maybe have the vision that I have now when being in Washington, D.C., and the new hospital that was built on Fort Belvoir, and Bethesda Naval Hospital was reflagged or renamed the new Walter Reed National Medical Military Center. And, you know, that sort of changed the whole picture for me. And the other thing I might add, too, is that, and this goes to what golf can do, say, versus other sports as a real rehabilitative tool, was that we've included the family. So this is something that they can do together. We don't feel that when you try to help a wounded warrior, you're helping just them. Their whole family is in it. They've all been affected by what that person has gone through, and it's affected that family unit. So the whole family comes out to Fort Belvoir for the program that we conduct. And the program has expanded to where they'll come out, some of the soldiers, as they get better, they'll come out and take individual lessons with me during the week. And we've included a playing element with their physical therapy time during the week. And so there's an equipment element. We try to use some incentives, again, to make sure that they participate, because it's really the participation that's rehabilitating them. The golf itself and how good they get at it is really secondary. What's important is that they're engaged and that they're involved. And I know our program, I'm pleased to say, or at least it's being suggested to me, that it's a model for others to copy. And I know that some of the leadership, being that I'm in Washington, D.C., some of the leadership in the military has taken part in the program, and there is some talk that hopefully this program will be used as a template for other installations, perhaps in Hawaii, wherever it is deemed that it could be needed. And I don't know that that's an official thing at this point, but we're fairly advanced in what we're doing. And obviously, my team would help any installation, and we already have, in helping them get a program going, you know, at their facility. And a lot of your viewers may or may not know that the military is a large employer of PGA professionals, and that a lot of installations have golf courses. I think there's over 200, I'm talking all branches now, over 200 military golf courses. I'm not totally sure of the non-Army facilities, but
I think
hopefully will reach a lot of people at some point.
There certainly are a lot of golf courses in Hawaii. I mean, I was just thinking about there's Shafter, and then there's Leilahua, and there's Hickam, and there's Mamala, and there's Kaneohe, and there's, you know, and that's just off the top of my head. I'm leaving a whole lot out that are just here in the islands, and it would be great, because I know with the numbers of soldiers and Navy men, airmen, women, they're here, and it sounds like it would be a really, really good program to have in the islands, and I hope somehow that happens. That would be fantastic. I got to ask you, we were talking a little bit before the show about the importance of, you know, guys and women with PTSD. A lot of, you come back from an encounter, there is going to be some residual shock left. Anyone who's been in any kind of stressful situation has, to a degree, some PTSD, some post-traumatic stress disorder. And you were telling me that it is most important to start healing the mental aspect of the whole human to get to the physical.
Well, I might say at this point, too, I just want to make one distinction, and I try to tell all the instructors that, because I've gotten involved in training other PGA professionals, you know, we're not doctors, so I don't want your viewers or for people to think that we're crossing the line to where we're treating them for neurological issues and post-traumatic stress. We're trying to be an extension of what their therapists are doing. And I always try to make sure that the normal use of sports psychology or golf psychology that has become so big, and, you know, Phil Mickelson and many of the tour professionals, I probably shouldn't even say Mickelson, I don't know for sure him personally, but they credit, you know, Bob Rotella or whoever, you know, as their sports psychologist. I think we have to be careful using that in the area of wounded warriors, but because I don't think it's the same thing. But having said that, I think that when you first start doing this, you get visually, you're blown away a little bit by the fact that they might be missing a limb or they may have severe burns. A lot of people who come and watch the program that we're doing, that's sort of what they look for or what they talk about. But having done it, it didn't take very long for me to realize that the physical part can be dealt with if you're able to address and improve the mental part. And the soldiers and the military personnel that make progress in feeling better mentally are then in position to deal with a bad knee or a bad back or a missing limb. So we try to do our best to be positive, to create a lot of fun, a lot of talking, and I spend a great deal of time, and really the main focus for me is getting them to come to class. And that might sound small, but they can be very withdrawn, people that are going through post-traumatic stress. So I have a retired colonel who's a retired executive director of the Mid-Atlantic PGA, and we go to the formations, and I have him up on the installation talking to the soldiers, you know, a couple of times a week, and going to their formations, and I do this myself, addressing them at their formation. And we try not to act like we're doctors, but we do try to engage them and to encourage them and to make sure we do whatever we can to get them to participate. And quite frankly, if I think they're interested in doing something else, I'll encourage that as well. I mean, I'm kind of biased toward golf. I think golf is a great sport, but that's kind of where we're coming from, and that's what we're trying to do. Just get them back into life, and then we also spend a great deal of time talking to them about what they're going to do when they leave the military. So we've tried to create a network of support where there's always someone positive talking to them and working with their therapists, because none of us are qualified to be doctors for people going through something that big.
Thank you. That's perfectly said. Absolutely. But as people, just as human beings, and I'm not trying to be a doctor, we know that when we're happy, when we're smiling, when we're interacting, we're not as focused on how we feel our physical feelings. I understand why you're trying to say, you know, we're not doctors and we're not trying to take the place of the therapists and the medical professionals. And that's very important, the two coming together and working. I just really want to thank you for the work that you do. It means an awful lot to me. I really appreciate your time and effort and all the work that you're doing on your... This isn't your job. This is something you're doing because you see a need and you fulfill it.
Absolutely. I'm privileged to do it. It's heart-wrenching to see some of the things that you see and to hear some of the stories that you hear, but... if it has to be done, then I hope someday it doesn't. I hope someday the program's all about veterans of past conflicts and we don't have, you know, new soldiers and new, you know, airmen and so forth coming back with injuries. And I hope it's just all about, you know, helping people from past conflicts. But if someone has to do it, just for me to have a part in it, it's very humbling. And there's nothing I would rather do than to help these people. And for your golfers listening, it also, there is a matter of perspective. You know, golf, when they play golf and they don't always hit shots the way they want, they could learn a lot from going to these lessons and realizing, you know, golf's not, you know, life and death. These people have been through life and death. And so that's why their perspective on what golf means to them is different. And so a lot of us who play golf get wrapped up in, you know, hitting the ball well, and we deal with anger, and we deal with this and that. And for a lot of them, I think it's the perspective they would get. You know, Larry Nelson once said, they asked him about the pressure of the U.S. Open and how easy he made it look when he won the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship. And he said, well, golf's not pressure. Pressure is being shot at when you're riding in a combat helicopter in Vietnam. So everything's a matter of perspective, and I think if people approach golf the way the participants in my class were approaching it, to have fun and to enjoy life and to, you know, and for other reasons, then I think a lot of your golfers may find they play better. But of course, that's not my direct approach, but I think they would.
I think you're right. We're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back. We're talking with Steve Greiner, head professional at Fort Belvoir, the creator of the Wounded Warrior Golf Program that helps with the rehabilitation socially and physically in conjunction with what the doctors are prescribing, so to speak. But this is also getting them out, getting them in the social experience that's so important. So we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The new Acura RDX features an incredibly efficient V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Yet the RDX has incredible nimble driving characteristics. And let's not forget, it's also equipped with standard power moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. It also has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, they don't make any sound. Test drive the new RDX today.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
The new Acura RLX's true sense of luxury comes from its unique technologies. From the Juuleye LED headlights and precision all-wheel steer, to its available 14-speaker Krell premium audio system, the RLX takes everything you love about a luxury sedan and makes it even more luxurious. The all-new RLX from Acura. Luxury taken to a whole new level.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We're back and we're talking with Steve Greiner, the head professional at Fort Belvoir Golf Club. He's been the head professional for 12 years, or a PGA professional for 12 years, and a teaching professional for 22 years. You just got back from Hawaii, if I'm not mistaken, not too long ago?
I did, just this past winter.
Okay, we've got to talk a little bit about some of the courses that you visited. Which courses did you play on Oahu?
I played Kanahoe.
Yes, Kaneohe. That's the Kaneohe Clipper.
And Ko'olina.
Ko'olina, that's where the LPGA plays every year. How did you like, let's say, the Clipper course?
Well, you know, working for a military course, I liked it very much, of course. I go to Ireland and Scotland a lot. I really like golf courses where you can see the water. So Kanahoe, the back nine, which is probably pretty famous out your way, that was particularly nice. I thought Ko'olina was terrific, but you don't really see the water that much. So when you're in Hawaii and you don't see the water, I found that slightly disappointing. However, the golf course was amazing. It was beautiful condition. It's a terrific layout.
And the greens are quite nice too, aren't they? What kind of greens do you have, Belvoir?
We have bent greens and Bermuda fairways.
Bent greens and Bermuda fairways, excellent. So in case some of our retired military, we have a lot of guys who play golf here, a lot of retired military, and if they're in the Washington, D.C. area, are they welcome to come over?
Yes, all military people are eligible, and Department of Defense, active and retired, are eligible to play at Fort Belvoir.
Excellent. It's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. I was on base, and it's really special. Virginia is very pretty, and the base is very pretty, Belvoir. I really enjoyed just the feeling, the scenery.
That means Belvoir, beautiful to see, I believe, in
French. Yes, it does. Belle is beautiful, and Voir is the scenery. And now, did you go to Kauai?
I did, and I played Poipu and Princeville.
Poipu. That's the south side, and Princeville's the north, so you got a feeling for the north part where there's more rain and the south side where it's a little bit drier. Did you enjoy Poipu?
I did, and the views were terrific, and of course, there were a lot of whales.
Whales, too.
You could see them right from the golf course, and the weather was perfect, and that was really, for someone who spends a great deal of his time on the East Coast, that was a real treat, to see all that sunshine and whales and the beautiful blue water, and it was great. That was a phenomenal day on the golf course at Poipu.
Excellent. It's at Ka'anapali and Kapalua on Maui. Kapalua, they have the Hyundai Tournament of Champions every year. It's coming up in January, and they always say, "Watch out in your backswing; you may see a whale breach," and it'll. Throw you off every time.
Yep. It really is nice. The Hawaii is just terrific. First time there. Maybe you get used to it being out there, but for someone like me, it's just striking how beautiful it is.
Excellent. It was really a pleasure talking with you. Steve Greiner, head professional, Fort Belvoir Golf Club, PGA professional. Anything that I left out that you'd like to say?
No, I think we covered everything. It's hard to go over everything that I've experienced in the 8 years, or I'm sorry, since 2008 in the program. So I think we kind of hit on it. But anything that your viewers can do this Patriot Day weekend to support the military and remember all that they've given up so that we can do what we do, that would be great.
That's right. It is Patriot Golf Day this weekend. Just call it. It's the special day, but it's a weekend flagship fundraiser for the Folds of Honor Foundation, 501c3 nonprofit, provides post-secondary educational scholarships for not just children, but for spouses of military men and women disabled or killed while serving our great nation. And on Labor Day this weekend, golfers across the country are asked to add an extra dollar to their green fees to fund the Folds of Honor Scholarships, and this Patriot Golf Day campaign, jointly supported by the PGA of America and the United States Golf Association, And I am really very proud to say that back in 2007, when Major Dan Rooney started this, the founder of the Folds of Honor Foundation, an F-16 pilot, a PGA professional, a USGA member, he was on my show.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yes, yes, we got to talk about it. So it was an honor then, and it still is an honor to remember every year that you can just add a dollar to your green fee, and that will go to the Folds of Honor Foundation. Steve Greiner, head pro at Fort Belvoir. Next time I go visit my son, I'm taking a lesson, and we're going to maybe a playing lesson. Can we do a 9-hole playing lesson?
Absolutely. I look forward to that.
Love to. Absolutely fabulous. Thanks for being on the show.
Okay, thank you.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
All right, we are KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, and this is the Golf Club. And we're going to go from Belvoir to Hawaii, and now we're going to go to Ireland. And joining us right now is Kevin Markham, the author of Hooked, An Amateur's Guide to the Golf Courses of Ireland. He is a blogger, a golfer, and a golf guide. Now, he has just finished escorting four guys from Hawaii. Mike Malinowski was the organizer. And then there was Bob, who celebrated his birthday, Maurice Miranda, and David Fusilier. Welcome to the show, the man who took those four guys on a trip across Ireland, Kevin Markham. It's good to have you on.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for that.
Absolutely. Now, what I like about your book, you need to get this book if you're going to go to Ireland, or if you just want to find out about Ireland. It's called Hooked, okay? Now, he doesn't mince words. And, you know, so many of these golf guides, they find something to say nice about the course, even though probably wouldn't or find anything, really. Obviously, Kevin, you're not concerned about offending. Dublin Mountain, he says, underwhelming, struggle as I might, I can find nothing positive to say here. The main attraction of the club is the scenery, but with South County half a mile away and visible across the valley, that benefit is snuffed out.
Yeah, it's, certainly, I wouldn't say I've won friends and influenced people through it, but I guess half the point of it was that so much of the marketing that goes around golf clubs, it over-embellishes what the offer is, and I was just a little bit tired of it, and I just saw an opportunity for people to get a much better idea of what a golf course was actually like, and there's just no point overselling it, because people will turn up, and they'll go, well, this is rubbish, and they'll badmouth it and go away and tell their friends, and their friends won't possibly come to Ireland.
Yeah, no, I love it. That's what I first did. You know, you suggested some of the pages I should go through, because this is extensive. How many courses do you review?
Well, it depends on your point of view at the moment with Ireland. You know, we've lost a few golf courses in the last couple of years, but at the time when I was traveling around, there were 350 golf courses.
Wow.
350 18-hole golf courses.
And how many 9-hole courses are there?
That I don't know, but I think there must be in the region of 120 to 150.
Wow. We need more 9-hole courses here. I wish people would build 9-hole courses, but then again, maybe we should just split up some of the 18-hole courses that aren't doing well, because 9 holes just makes so much more sense in today's, you know, society, the way we have absolutely no time. But obviously, Mike and Bob and Maurice and David had enough time to get into, what was it, an RV? You took them on a trip. How did they get in touch with you?
Well, they got in touch with me through my blog, and it was actually September last year. Mike has done this several times. He's been to New Zealand seven times, and Scotland a couple of years ago, and they decided that it was time to come to Ireland. So, yeah, they got in touch with me through my blog, and then we just started emailing back and forth, and he was just giving me the itinerary, which evolved hugely over the months as they sort of realized that, I mean, Ireland is obviously a very small country. I mean, you look at any of the states in the USA, and they're enormous compared to the size of Ireland. But then in Ireland, you have things like our roads. Now, we have some very good roads, and we have some very bad roads. And a lot of the roads leading to the golf clubs are very small, very long, and very windy, and it's hard work driving around the countryside sometimes. These guys decided to get an RV, and I thought that was a great idea. Now, you said I went with them. I didn't actually go with them. I simply guided them in terms of giving them recommendations and sort of telling them how long it was going to take to get to different places.
Oh, okay.
I met them for a couple of days, but I didn't actually travel with them.
But you played golf with them?
I played golf with them, yeah. They came down to my home club and played with me and played with my father as well.
Excellent. If you'd like to get in touch with Kevin Markham, it's theirishgolfblog.com. Doesn't get much simpler than that. Theirishgolfblog.com. Do you charge an arm and a leg to do this?
Oh, no. No, I didn't charge anything at all.
Really?
No. I mean, they just got in touch with me and said, look, we'd just like your advice and your input, and if you're around, maybe grab a round of golf with you. And I said, yeah, sure, it'd be fun. And I mean, I like doing that. I've actually met a few guys, Americans. I played with them at the Island and Port Stewart and places like this around the country. It's just an opportunity to meet people and have some fun and sort of spread the word. That's the way I look at it.
That's marvelous. You're really a special person. Okay, which is your home course? I've got to read what you've said about it.
Greystones Golf Club.
Greystones. You take some fabulous pictures. You also have a Flickr account where people can look at your pictures. What is that?
Well, when I was going around, obviously, when I'm reviewing a course, you know, I have a little recorder. I talk into that. And I had a camera, and I was just snapping shots. And suddenly I realized that I had this huge resource of photographs that other people could look at if they wanted to. So I set up a Flickr account, and I've been sort of adding to it. Now, some of the photographs on there are pretty gray and dull, because obviously some of the days are gray and dull. But recently I've been paying much more attention to it, and there are now about 6,000 photographs of Irish golf courses up there.
Some of them are really spectacular, too. I know the feeling. You know, you see a picture, and you're like, that's spectacular, and then you take it, and you go, wait a minute, that wasn't as spectacular as I thought it was, but your pictures are very good. Did you say your home course is Greystones?
That's it.
Greystones, one up, one down. The first thing you might notice is that there are no scores for Greystones. I've been playing here since the age of 5, and whatever score I give will not go down well at the club. Score it too high, and people won't take my other scores seriously. Score it too low, and I won't be welcome back.
Yeah.
I love Greystones. It's a short par 69 with 2 par 5s, 5 par 3s, and like most golf books claim, it divides into 2 distinct 9s. This is great. It's a really, really good book. You also give the favorite hole and the toughest hole, particularly. What is your favorite hole at Greystones?
Well, I mean, I suppose over the years it changes. I think I've got the 17th there, haven't I?
No, actually, it's the par 4 6th.
And that's right, the 17th is the toughest hole. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, the sixth is index 3. It's a really tough hole. It goes downhill between lots of gorse. And, you know, you really can't hit a driver off the tee, and that leaves you with a very tough shot in. So, yeah, but I think it's just a beautiful hole. And certainly come February, March, when the gorse comes out and full bloom and all that yellow and orange is there, it's a gorgeous-looking hole.
It sounds beautiful. Now, what do you recommend to the person who finds themselves in the gorse?
Well, that all depends on how brave you are and what you're wearing.
Ah! Explain why is it important what you're wearing?
Well, if you're wearing thick trousers, yeah, you can afford to go in. But if you're wearing thin linen or shorts, no, not a recommended adventure.
So chow whatever ball it is that you're just playing with, yeah, I'm going to drop.
Yeah, if its title is Pro V1, well, then maybe it'll be worth your while and it's worth the pain. But generally speaking, no.
No, okay. So y'all got it? We're not talking long grass here. We're talking...
Well, I think you go. I mean, it's called furs as well. I think Americans, a lot of Americans call it furs. So, I mean, it's really prickly, nasty stuff. And some of the place, and that's the sort of thing I've found amazing. You know, at Greystones, it's prickly. But, I mean, up in places like Scrabo in Northern Ireland, it will actually cut you. It is so sharp.
Wow. Now, you see, one of the things for Hawaii when you come to play, because, of course, you're going to have to come here eventually, right? I'd love it if you did a golf guide for Hawaii because, you know, you wouldn't be attached. That's so much to the problem with guides. They're done by people from the area, and they can't really do one that's brutal because they'll alienate everybody in the community. Have you lost friends because of your golf guide?
I don't think I've lost friends. I've had arguments with people about it. I mean, a good friend of mine was very unhappy with the review I gave her course, which is Woodbrook. Mm. It hosted the Irish Open many years ago, but it's just a sort of a slightly plain seaside course, and she was giving out to me about it. And Elm Park is another one that I got into trouble with. But and one of my best friends plays at Elm Park, and he invited me back. And my name for the day was just Kevin. I wasn't introduced as Kevin Markham at all, because it would have been dangerous for everybody concerned, I think.
That's so funny. You told me to read Waterville, the most perfect... It's picture-perfect links. So you really like water. Established in 1889. Tell us about Waterville.
Well, it's just one of those... a links course is always... I mean, the Americans love links. So if anyone's been to Ireland, I suspect they'll know the links reasonably well. And Waterville is one of the big trophy names. It's in a glorious location on the Ring of Kerry. But obviously, I mean, you don't play golf for the views. Although for me, it's a major part of the attraction. I mean, it's just really rhythmic. It's amazing what got done with it. Tom Fazio. Fazio?
Fazio,
he
yes.
He was brought in after one of Ireland's most famous golf architects, a guy called Eddie Hackett. He went in and remodeled it for, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And then the Americans came over, three American guys. They bought it and turned it into, I mean, an amazing golf course. I mean, Fazio, I don't know how much... He did quite a bit of work on a couple of holes and then just sort of changed the angles and things like this around the course. And it is. It's mesmerizing to play. There's some remarkable holes there.
Wonderful.
And all the time, you've just got these views around you.
You know, views in Hawaii and places that are destinations. And Ireland is a golf destination. Scotland is a golf destination. So people go wherein they expect to have green here in Hawaii. It's got to be green. You know, it can't be brown. It's got to be green because it rains here all the time, doesn't it? Everything has got to look beautifully green. Of course, it doesn't rain all the time in Hawaii. And there are deserts on each island. So most of the water has to be pumped in to make everything green, which, it's kind of tough for the USGA's, you know, the brown is the new green and let's firm and fast and all that good stuff. But people do have expectations, and I imagine you're the Emerald Isle. Isn't it always green there?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much it's always green. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that you're used to it every day, you don't see it, but then you get guys... Like, Mike and his gang coming over, and they're going, wow, it's just so green. You think, but surely Hawaii's green, you know? So it's astounding. Although, having said that, we had about 17 blistering days here this summer. We haven't had it in years. Tremendous weather. And baked the fairways on, certainly a lot of the links courses where there aren't any sprinklers on the fairways, absolutely baked them brown. And, I mean, you know, I haven't played on a links course like that in years and years and years.
Tell me.
So, for the most part, it's very green, but then every now and again, you get a bit of a freak.
Okay, that's interesting. Oh, we just have lots of different topography. We've got the windward side where the clouds bring the rain in, and then there's the barrier of the mountain that takes that water on the windward side and dumps it, and then the clouds continue. Then by the time, you know, the weather, so to speak, gets to the leeward side of the island, not a lot of rain falling over there, but we make it all green. Mike and Bob. Bob, he was 71, celebrated his 71st birthday.
Yeah, they were up in, they went up to County Sligo and they were playing Ross's Point or County Sligo Golf Club, and it was his 71st. And I remember Mike was saying to me, it's his birthday, we don't know what we're doing yet, Bob likes the beer. So we were trying to, I was trying to recommend another course, and they were basically saying, it depends on how Bob's feeling. So I don't think they played another round that day.
Bob likes the beer. That's good. Which was their favorite course?
They didn't really give me a favorite course at the end of it. They just sort of gave me a list of, you know, which ones they really liked.
Okay.
And I mean, they still had, they still had half a dozen courses after I played with them to play. Ballybunion, Dukes, they still had to play those courses. Ooh. But from what I could tell, they loved Carn, which is certainly my top course in the country. Mm. Enniscrone, which would be another one very close. These are up in the northwest. And the kind of places that, you know, the value is tremendous for these courses. You don't pay as much as you do for the big trophy courses, like Waterville, like Portmarnock, like the European. And then some of the small courses. I mean, I think part of it was when these guys got in touch with me, they said, you know, you've got an inside track on the really good courses. We want to play really good courses, but we don't want to pay lots and lots of money to play the best courses. So I was trying to send them to smaller courses that, you know, off the beaten track that most Americans, most golfing tourists, in fact, wouldn't necessarily play. And that would include the likes of Strand Hill, which is in County Sligo, a lovely little links course.
Interrupt you. I have my book where you said Strand Hill, and my book that I'm referring to is the one written by Kevin Markham, author of Hooked, An Amateur's Guide to the Golf Courses of Ireland. He's a blogger, a golfer, a golf guide, so to speak. He'll let you know where you should go, and you don't want to spend a lot of money, as he's saying. And you can go and find him at theirishgolfblog.com. Just as you said, Strand Hill, I've been holding my book open to that because you say it's the unsung hero. Pay attention, yep. Come to Strand Hill, and bring your brain.
Yep.
This Super Links may only be a par 69 and somewhat overshadowed by County Sligo across the bay, but it goes to the heart of your golfing prowess. You're quite the writer, yep. You know, Mark. Kevin, I don't know why I want to say it's your last name. Kevin Markham, you're a very good writer.
Thank you.
Yes, I really enjoy this book. And tell your friends that it's not just a, what do they call it?
How do you mean?
Well, your friend said it's just, it's like a, you know, a reference guide that you keep in the restroom.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah, a friend of my father's, he's in his mid-80s, I think. And he turned around to me one day and said, Kevin, I really like your book. It's great. I have it in the restroom. Every time I go, I read a different course. So I thought, yeah, okay, I can understand kind of why it ends up in the bathroom.
But it is perfect. It really is perfect. So Strand Hill, where I interrupted you, that's one of those off-the-beaten-track courses that you don't pay an arm and a leg for, but has the arm and a leg value.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, people talk about the links courses. And to be fair, you know, all the courses up in the northwest, the Enniscrones, the Carns, places like Narron and Portnew, They are slightly off the beaten track, and a lot of the Americans don't go there, preferring the Ballybunion, Lahinch, Doonbeg, places like that. They're really the big trophy names. But there are some links courses around that are just spectacular that don't get the credit they deserve. And again, that's part of why I wrote the book. I just felt that, you know, the big courses get huge amounts of advertising and promotion around them, and they're always like that. So they're always going to get lots and lots of credit. They're always in the rankings, the top 100s, and things like that. And I just felt that there were so many really good courses out there that people didn't talk about. And yep. This is just an opportunity to tell them.
This is great. It's a great book. It's called Hooked, An Amateur's Guide to the Golf Courses of Ireland. We're talking with Kevin Markham. Yes, and he's in Ireland right now. How long did Mike and Bob and Morris and David travel around?
I think they were here. They were actually flying back to Hawaii as we speak. They were here for 15 days, and they played 23 or 24 courses.
Wow, 15 days in an RV, four guys?
Yeah, I kind of put that to them because, I mean, when I traveled around and wrote the book, I was in an RV, and it was supposedly a four-person camper van, and I worked out that if there was some one other person in that camper van with me for 2 days, I would have killed them. So how four guys manage in a camper van, you know, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But they did it.
They did it. Yeah, probably sent one out. You sleep outside. Is the weather warm enough to do that?
Well, they've actually been very lucky. Because one of the first things that Mike asked me was, you know, he said, is August a good time to come? And I wrote back and I said, no. And so he booked August. So, I mean, it's just, it can be warm. I mean, August is warm, but it can also be very wet. So I sort of was saying, you know, come July, come September. September is particularly good over here. So they came in August, and yeah, I think they didn't have too many problems. A lot of the golf clubs are perfectly happy for them to camp overnight, and the camper van will open up the facilities to them. That's one of the things they were commenting on, was how welcoming all the different clubs were. It wasn't a problem parking overnight. You know, certainly my home club, the guy came out with milk and sugar in the morning for their breakfast and things like that. So, you know, nice touches, and I think they've had a really good time here.
Yeah, I can imagine that, you know, you'd if you were, I was just thinking, you know, you'd want to use the facilities where your book is kept. And, you know, when you're parked outside, a lovely building, you go, God, can I just run in quick? That would be, you know, for a woman, we always think about those things, you know, with the challenge of the morning and what to do. And so that's great advice. It'd be fun for a couple to do this. I can't think of anything more. I spend 3 weeks traveling in an RV. You'll either love each other more or decide that it's the biggest mistake you've ever made.
Yeah, could well be.
Yeah, but this is great. Kevin Markham, author of Hooked, An Amateur's Guide to the Golf Courses of Ireland. Let's take on another one of your Rathcore. Beautiful, challenging, thrilling. The beauty of Rathcore is that it is seriously good and so completely unexpected, except that now you expect it. Tell us about Rathcore.
I think one of the things I love particularly about Rathcore is it's a very new course. And, of course, the modern ethos of golf design is you build big courses, long courses. And this isn't long at all. I mean, this is all about, a bit like Strandhill, you've got to bring your brain. You know, you don't just lash it off the tee. There are lots of small, you know, lakes and things around the place, and you know, irons off the tee just are required. And then you've got lovely shots into greens. Again, lots of gorse around the greens, water in front. So, I mean, it's a very picturesque course. You've got to think very hard about a lot of the shots. Plenty of room for the driver, you know, on other holes. But I just like the way it was laid out at the start, the design behind it. And it's very much a family affair. It was built, or at least the land was bought, and then the course was built by Morris and Austin Lyons, who are legends over here in Gaelic sport. And they went ahead and had this idea for a golf course, and I think they pulled it off beautifully. And I mean, no American, apart from four Hawaiians, no American is really going to go venturing into the Midlands to play this course, because it's too far off the beaten track and it doesn't have the K Club aura around it.
Yeah.
So it's a course that I love. I mean, I'd play it every day quite happily.
Wow.
And there are not many courses in that book that I'd want to do that with.
Wow, that's quite, yeah, okay, that was Fern Hill, right? Yes.
No, Rathcore.
Oh, excuse me, Rathcore, yes.
Yeah, if you look at Fern Hill,
don't go to
the opposite end.
Yes, sorry. Yes, I should have taken my little note here away. Rathcore, we were just talking about, beautiful, challenging, and thrilling, and of course that Kevin would play every day if he could. Now, the other course that we were going to talk about is, let me see now, and now I'm afraid I'm going to mispronounce this, Adair Manor?
Yeah, Adair Manor, yeah.
Around the Ruins, first off, this is not the Irish Open course. Adair is next door. The names cause confusion, but they are side by side, and tee boxes almost merge early on at the third. That's interesting. So this is where the Irish Open, near where the Irish Open was played, Adair. And then Adair Manor is around the ruins. Explain that.
Okay. Adair Manor is a small course. It was a 9-hole course, and it's based around... Well, I mean, there are a couple of ruins there. There's an old cemetery in the middle, and then the ruins of a church or a chapel or something like this.
Like an abbey.
And there's several. Sorry.
An abbey.
Yeah, oh, it's an abbey. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then Adare Manor is the actual building, a lovely old Gothic building from, you know, a couple of hundred years ago. That's across the river and on the other side, and that was purchased, and they built a golf course there. But obviously they couldn't call it Adare Manor, so it was called Adare. So it's very confusing, because Adare Manor Hotel is in the Adare Golf Club, whereas Adare Manor Golf Club is across the water next door. And they're very, very different courses. I mean, the Adare Manor is a small, very tight course. It was 9 holes. They extended to 18. Probably shouldn't have gone that far. 14 holes would have been about right. But and then you've got the really big muscle course next door, which is Adare, which is Robert Trent Jones designed. Again, a beautiful course. So you've got two very, very different courses with pretty much the same name. It confuses the hell out of people, out of visitors, certainly.
Yeah, but this is great. You know, people love history and ruins. When you talk ruins, it's like, ooh, we're going to the ruins. You have been such a pleasure talking with. Kevin Markham is the author of Hooked. You need to be on the show again because you're fun. Thank you so much for being with
me.
Thank you. Kevin, thanks for spending 25 minutes of your day with me.
You're very welcome. It's great to be on.
Excellent. And we'll be back with Jan Lee. She has the perfect tea for you. She's right here in Hawaii. And if you order something from Jan, she'll probably just, you know, put a couple of things in there extra, just because. Thank you, Kevin Markham. We'll be back. This is The Golf Club. My name is Danielle Tucker.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
The new Acura RDX features an incredibly efficient V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Yet the RDX has incredible nimble driving characteristics. And let's not forget, it's also equipped with standard power moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. It also has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, they don't make any sound. Test drive the new RDX today.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
The new Acura RLX's true sense of luxury comes from its unique technologies. From the Juuli LED headlights and precision all-wheel steer, to its available 14-speaker Krell premium audio system, the RLX takes everything you love about a luxury sedan and makes it even more luxurious. The all-new RLX from Acura. Luxury taken to a whole new level.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We've got the playoffs underway. The FedEx Cup playoffs, of course, at the Deutsche Bank. But, you know, we've also got the Web.com Tour playoffs. They're underway with the PGA Tour's 126 to 200. Those are the guys that didn't keep their card. Web.com Tour, 1 through 75 on the money list. 50 PGA Tour cards are up. 25 already have them from the Web.com Tour. But they're playing for better status on the PGA Tour. 25 people are trying to get their cards for next year, including the PGA Tour players who lost their status by missing the magic number of 125 or better below, right? You have to be like 1 through 124 to actually have your card. And we've got the Hotel Fitness, the Chiquita Classic, the Nationwide Children's Hospital, and then the Web.com Tour Championship. Great leaderboard. Patrick Cantlay, Michael Putnam, he's already the star of the Web.com Tour. Aaron Oberholzer with his thumb, he's working out, he's getting it all together. So exciting. Bud Cauley, Trevor Immelman, he won the Masters, remember, 5 years ago. Sunil Noh, Will Claxton, Scott Gardner, all there on top of the leaderboard. And let's go now and give away some golf balls because Jan Lee is joining us. She's the creator of the Perfect Tee. Jan, welcome to the show.
Aloha and good morning. So nice to be on with you today, Danielle.
It's good to have you on. The number to call if you'd like to win Golf Balls is 808-296-5467. 296-5467. The ninth caller wins. And the reason we're giving away golf balls is because we love you. And we're talking about Jan Lee's perfect tee.
We love you too.
And we need to put the ball on the perfect tee.
There you go.
How long have you been selling this?
Well, it's interesting that 23 years have gone by, and I'm able to do something I'm very passionate about. A man gave me these tees, an aerospace engineer from California who developed them and molded a few, and asked me to market them. Well, back then the internet was just getting going, so I developed a website in 1997.
And since 97, you've been shipping perfect tees out from Hawaii?
Yes, I send them all over the world, and subsequently, Hawaii is about probably the best place to play golf, and we're hoping to offer a special today to all your listeners.
Wow, what's the special?
Well, if you call in and order Perfect Tees at theperfecttee.com today, we'll double your order. Wow. So we're very happy to be a part of this, and we want more people to experience the Perfect Tee. For years, the Golf Test USA, which is an independent golf organization, hesitated testing tees because everybody thought a tee was a tee. Well, you know, as time went on and more PGA shows came about, there's many innovative types of tee, and I feel the perfect tee is one of those.
There's so many things about this tee that the perfect tee can be used as a ball mark repair tool.
Yes. Well, the thing is, it's unbreakable. We guarantee it. If you break it, I send you a new one. And as you mentioned earlier, I do always give away a lot for free because in the game of golf, we occasionally can't find our ball or our tee. And we like you to have a couple of extra to share with your friends. They are unbreakable. They have a unique V-shaped tip. So when you put it in the ground, it stabilizes the ball height. Every time you put in a standard tee, it could be lower or higher. And I think this is the main point of the perfect tee, the stability. It only goes in a certain height. Therefore, you hit every time the same. And many people feel it increases their distance and their straight drives.
Excellent. Now, don't be afraid to tee up higher, right? Because that always improves your chance of actually coming in contact with the ball.
Right, and it does, and you will come in contact. We have three different sizes, one for the oversized driver, we have a standard tee, and we also have one that works well with irons and fairway woods.
This is fabulous. It's called The Perfect Tee. Find Jan at theperfecttee.com. If you order today, she'll double your order and send it out to you. Congratulations, Oliver from Maui. You have won the golf balls. And, of course, you're going to tee up on the perfect tee. Well,
I did want to mention one more thing about the Hawaii golf and news travel where we both advertise. Norm Gunther recently had a tournament for the Hawaii seniors.
Yes.
And Marty Black wrote to me and said he won the tournament first time using the perfect tee, and he had me send him some more. He recently came in sixth in Cleveland in the senior national games, and we have so many testimonials on our website at www.theperfecttee.com. And yes, I always throw in extra. So
yeah.
I love my golfers and my customers.
And we've known each other for, a long time. You'll be back on the show. Today ran a little bit late because this is a special weekend, Patriot Golf Day weekend. And
yes, I enjoyed the interview, and I must say we love Golf Club Radio Show.
Oh,
you constantly give us wonderful information, and we have fun listening.
I love you. You just made my weekend. Jan, you'll be back on the show, not because of what you just said, but because we want to bring you on earlier in the show so our earlier listeners can enjoy you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. We're going to thank our sponsors. The Golf Club is brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, and you know, it's school's back in session, you should ride in comfort. The Acura RLX and Acura RLX Advance. Go test drive it. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 stunning championship holes. And, you know, even if you don't think you're a championship player, doesn't matter. Go enjoy Poipu Bay. Take your family out to play and tee it forward. Kauai's South Shore Gem. That's Poipu Bay Golf Course. And Star Protection. For property threat, risk assessment, you have somebody come on your property, check it out, see where you're, you know, where things could be protected a bit more, and then they'll provide you that protection for your home or for your business or for your concert or a special event. Get the STAR team on your property. STAR Protection, what you need in Hawaii and they're in California. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time, and you can find us at radiogolfclub.com. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.